my love. Welcome to the Fairly Bold podcast. I am so happy that you are here. I'm so happy to see you back. My name is Eugenia, but you can call me E. And this week, we are talking about money here on the podcast. Last week, I posted on my blog how I manage my money, more like my money management principles and my categories and all that good stuff. And I didn't record it because I was like, this is like such a visual tool. I don't know, maybe I'll record it in the future, but you can go check it out. I think that, you know, like since that it's more of a technical information or specific practical information, make sure to go ahead and check it out, fairlybold.com. And I'm going to leave the link down below. And if you haven't done so, please, please, please subscribe to my newsletter. I really want this year, 2021, to start being consistent with my newsletter. I have a huge running list of things I want to give to all my newsletter subscribers. And the first thing, which I already had, but I never talk about it, is a free mini course on how to make confident choices. It is free, of course, and well, nothing is really free because you're giving me technically your email address, but in exchange, I am really giving you so much value, if I may say so myself. So yeah, in exchange for your email, I'll give you this free mini course on how to make confident choices. And I know that I've said, and I stand by what I said about not needing confidence or letting lack of confidence to stop you from achieving your goals. But I truly think that when we are confident about the choices that we make, even if we're not confident in ourselves, the process of making the choice and you know, doing what we have to do becomes smoother. Like, it's just easier to manage. So this is for you. So you can have a tool. You're going to receive 3-day mini course, one video a day with a workbook. I was like, oh, I'll just create a checklist for each video. And I'm like, no, I need a workbook. Like, we need to put everything that we learn in practice. So you'll receive one video a day and the workbook. And then you can do the workbook for every decision that you want to make. And I think it's going to be a blessing. And I hope that it's going to be a blessing for you, so you can move forward confident in aligning your heart, your mind, and your intuition or your gut. I say gut, but apparently, according to my husband, I can't pronounce the word G-U-T correctly. So I'll just use intuition so people understand what I'm talking about. Anyway, you can get this for free at bit.ly/confidentchoice. Again, that's bit.ly/confidentchoice. bit.ly/confidentchoice. I'm going to leave it below in the description box if you want to go click it, but I think it's going to really help you out. It's quick. It's not like you don't have to go and do a market study and read all Wall Street's assessments on the market situation. Like, you can if you want to, but you don't have to. You might have to do a little research, but it's not like a huge deal. I think you're really going to like it. You're going to love it. People that have been receiving it have been loving it. And I hope that you will too. So get that free mini course and we'll stay in touch in my newsletters. So on to today's topic. Whew, this was a long intro. Let me get comfortable. I'm sweating. I had to turn off the AC. And it's winter outside, but apparently when you are speaking and like I move a lot when I talk, so I'm sweating. Mind you, this comes with a job. So on today's topic, we are talking more specifically about money and specifically about women and money and why, as women, we should care about money. Not only care in the sense of, you know, ABBA song, money, 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 like not in that way, but more from an educational perspective, learning about money And yeah, I want to inspire you. And if you find that there are some steps that you could take and you feel like you don't know where to go financially and you know that you need to learn more and you need to take more ownership of your finances and you don't know where to go, I'm going to give you a couple of resources at the end that have been amazing for me. And of course, I have my blog post, fairlybold.com. I talk about how I manage my money, my financial principles. That's like ABC type of way of how I do it. But I highly encourage you to learn the financial basics. I'm not a financial expert. I do have my MBA. So I have like a basic understanding of finances, but I'm not a financial expert. So you definitely want to go to a financial expert for simple but like concrete teaching. So when you think about women and money, you can probably imagine this GIF that was very famous a couple of years ago, where the girl is like throwing cash to the air. I'm doing this with my hands, you can't see me, but whatever. Throwing cash to the air, and you imagine having this kind of rapper attitude of, I buy everything I want. I buy expensive liquor. I can even buy you if I want to. I mean, if that's your thing, that's your thing. But why do we want to access money? So the access to financial opportunities or the financial world is not only so we can buy expensive champagne in the club or have our own sugar baby. Those are personal decisions. And I would personally advise you to make a better use of your money. But the importance of women accessing financial independence or reaching financial independence goes way deeper than that. And we are exploring that today. First, here are some interesting facts about the attitudes that women tend to have towards money. So according to a US bank, and again, I'm going to leave all the resources down below. According to the US Bank, women are more likely than men to associate words like stress or anxiety with financial planning. We are less confident than men about managing money. But I found it interesting that that's not stopping us from investing and making financial moves. We want to learn even when we don't have that much confidence. So my theory is that we have less confidence because we have less experience historically, meaning confidence comes as a result of knowing that we are able to do something. Since history, throughout history, women haven't had a large presence in financial decisions. I think that's why we as a collective, we are not as confident in money. And mind you, women couldn't even get a credit card on their own until 1974. So It's in the grand scheme of things, it's not a long time. So we are interested. We're just not confident. We're stressed about it. According to a Mary Lynch study, 61% of women would rather talk about their own death than about money. Like, that is crazy. Like, death is a more pleasant conversation than money. That is insane. And I totally relate. I was there. If you haven't read my blog post, go back and read it. How I got a financial STD. What I felt was a financial STD. Oh my God, my husband's going to listen to this and he's going to be like, oh, people are going to think that you have an STD. I don't, people. It's just a metaphor. So all the research available shows that we are still not comfortable about money. However, the numbers about women's presence in the financial world are more and more encouraging each year, but we are still scared about it. And look, a little disclaimer here, I'm not talking about gender-related gaps, because specifically for this episode, I read so many studies and research and publications, just trying to have a clear understanding on that gap and how that was affecting us, because in a way that we could do something about it. And after looking at different studies, I didn't find real evidence of discrimination. So not every disparity is due to discrimination. So not because women are investing less than men, it's because necessarily it doesn't have to be because of we're being discriminated. So I feel like the gender gap and everything is such a complex issue that it's been overly simplified and it doesn't give us real solutions. So my My perspective or my approach is about personal responsibility and about educating ourselves and getting involved with our finances, not about destroying the system or the patriarchy, whatever it is, because I, as I said, haven't found solid evidence. And if you have found solid evidence, please send it my way. But I haven't found solid evidence that the number one factor affecting us when it comes to our finances is discrimination. So yeah, I could go on for hours, but with that perspective in mind, these are just four of my main reasons why we should pay attention to and know about money. Number one, and for me, this is huge. I think this might be the main one. I mean, of course, it's number one, but I think in the grand scheme of things, this is my main motivator for financial literacy and financial independence. And it's the fact that money allows you to be free to choose your values over money. And we can see that applied in two different scenarios or two different situations. First, in the workplace, and I've seen so many people, women and men, this is not a gender issue again, but I've seen so many people having to stay in a toxic place or a place that violates their values and just their principles because they just can't afford to leave. They have bills to pay, and we all have bills to pay. We have student loans, or we have parents to take care of, or whatever rent, you know, food, transportation, whatever it is, we just can't afford to leave. And if you are in this situation right now where you have to stay at a place that disrespects or goes against your values, or that is toxic and you have to stay there because of the money, don't take this as discouragement. Take this as inspiration and motivation, because I've been there. And let me tell you a personal story. So I had a previous employer, and during a specific period, I was having some mental struggles. So I was in that process of just going to different doctors, getting tests to understand where the imbalance came from. I don't know if you've experienced this or you know someone who has, but the beginning stages of mental health treatment tends to be a little intense in terms of just, it's a very busy season because there's a lot going on. You need to find the right doctor, the right treatment. You need to get, you know, your blood tested, your hormones tested. It's a lot. So I was at this job and I had been there for a long time. I had been super successful, like amazing results. And I'm not saying this to brag, but just to give you like a scenario of where I was. I had been there, yeah, for a long time. It's not like I had been there for a month or that I had been underperforming. Like I had been overperforming in every single mark. So I was doing good at this place, right? So I asked if for one day a week I could leave 1 or 2 hours earlier for that happened for a month. So imagine 4 weeks. So if I could leave for that one day, 1 or 2 hours earlier to get all these medical tests, because, you know, when you work a 9 to 6, which I don't know who said 9 to 5, most jobs are 9 to 6. When you work office hours, most doctor's offices are also in office hours. So you kind of have to take time from your job to go to those or go meet those office hours. So that's where I was. And that's why I needed to leave at least 1 or 2 hours earlier than my usual leave time. So instead of 6, it would be 4 or 5 to get this test, to get these meetings, all the process that I just described. And we came up with the solution of arriving 1 or 2 hours earlier other days or on the same day. So I would make up for my hours. I wasn't paid on an hourly basis, but still, like, you know, they didn't want to give me special treatment in that way. And I kind of understand. So whatever, I was arriving, you know, at 8 a.m. in the morning instead of 9 for 2 days a week, 1 day a week, just to make up for those hours. And at the end of the week, I would have my minimum of 40 hours. And I say minimum because sometimes you have to stay overtime, but whatever, I was not paid on an hourly basis. And, you know, I wanted to make my minimum of hours. So after 3 weeks of this situation of me leaving earlier one day and making up for the hours, the HR person called me to their office and said, "Hey, I understand that you're doing your therapy thing, like super uncomfortable. But I need you to fix that issue as soon as possible, because having different schedules is like really confusing for the company. So please, like, make sure that that situation doesn't go on for much longer. We need you to comply with your schedule. Like, you are hired for a schedule, and we can't have you like leaving 2 hours earlier and arriving an hour earlier. Like, it doesn't work. I felt like I was being pranked by the ice bucket challenge. Ugh, I'm like cringing thinking about it. It's not like I was, you know, getting my nails done or I was going to a nail treatment. It was a medical issue. And it was very disappointing, because I had done extra hours if needed for a project. I had worked holidays, I had worked weekends. I had never charged anything extra for that. And now meeting that lack of compassion, and I'm just giving you an example when it came to like to myself, but I heard really disappointing and, I don't know, borderline illegal stuff. So I really felt I didn't want to be there, but I couldn't afford to leave because I had to pay everything in my life, right? So at that moment, of course, for a few days, I was very in shock almost. But in that moment, I decided that I had to leave that place, and I set up a financial plan. And thankfully, I was able to quit and have all my bases covered. That's why I say that I've worked many odd jobs when I've needed to. But yeah, having financial freedom gives you the opportunity to value your principles over money. So that's example number one. And then it also applies in relationships. And thankfully, I haven't experienced this myself, but many people, and statistically, this happens more for women than men, have to stay in abusive relationships or unhealthy relationships because the man has all the financial power and you just can't afford to leave him. Because then what are you going to do? And I'm not talking about families who decide to have a more traditional configuration where the woman stays at home, she takes care of the family, and that's kind of her job. And that's a job, in my opinion. But even if that's your position, I truly, truly want to encourage you to not be complacent and be engaged in the finances. You know, have this conversation. Be aware of how money is being spent. Where is it being saved? Where is it being invested? What are your financial plans, your financial goals? Just because you don't have a paycheck from an employer, that doesn't mean that you are not working or that you should disengage. Like, oh, I don't know. I don't worry about it. No, you do have a job. You do have an occupation. It's just at home. But just because it's at home doesn't mean that you have to be aloof of everything that's happening in your financial life. Not at all. So those are my two biggest examples of how you can choose your values over money when you have that financial independence. Another reason, my second reason, is that you can support causes you care about. And you know that generosity is a big principle for me, and I'm not saying it to pretend that I am some type of like Mother Teresa or anything. I have benefited so much from generosity of people. I can't even begin to tell you how generous people have been to me. So I always want to pay it back, not to them necessarily, but just I value and I understand how much impact our generosity can have on someone else's life. So yeah, this is a big one for me. And of course, every dollar counts. So whether you are donating 10 or 1,000 to a cause, for sure, your money is making a difference. No question about it. And everyone is in a different position. But imagine being able to afford giving a big donation, like $50,000 to a cause that you truly care about. Causes like child trafficking, a pregnancy resource center, sponsoring a child across the world that doesn't even have access to water, or a whole community across the world that doesn't have access to clean water. Whatever it is that you care about, imagine being able to make a huge, huge tangible impact to change the life of a whole community, to put a kid through college, to rescue an elephant center in Thailand. I have my friend Natalie loves that, so that's why she came to my mind. Imagine having the opportunity to literally put your money where your mouth is and being able to lift up the voices of those who don't have the resources to access traditional media. This is all possible when we develop a financial strategy and we grow our wealth. So there are benefits that go beyond us and our security and our stability. It's just the impact that we can have. And related to that, the difference is my point number three, and that is that you're being a good example for other women and future generations. And you don't need to be a mom or want to be a mom to care about the next generation. I feel like most women listening to this podcast care about their legacy. So it's a fact. Seeing women succeed in a specific area gives us the courage and confidence to believe that it's possible for us to succeed there as well. So that's an inspiration. And when we see more women accessing certain resources, we become inspired by them. And if you do have kids, I once read that the best thing that you can do for your children is set yourself up financially for success. And it's true because women tend to use their retirement funds to pay for their kids' college, for example. They do this more than men, again, statistically. Maybe that's not your case, but statistically, women tend to use their retirement funds to pay for family stuff. And while it sounds altruistic and it's definitely a noble cause, you are not helping your kids in the long run. We need to make sure that we don't present a financial burden to us around us. That's number one, okay? That's the best way to help them succeed in life. Actually, according to the Women's Institute for Secure Retirement, one or more of your kids, statistically more likely to be your daughter, might then be forced to help finance your living expenses during your retirement or quit her job to become your caregiver. So taking care of your finances and your financial future, that's also an act of love. And my fourth reason is that you can truly improve your lifestyle. And I've talked about very like spiritual and psychological reasons, but let's get real. There is no shame in wanting to take this amazing trip to Paris, to the south of France, to go to Monaco. I know that Paris is not the south of France, but I'm just like thinking about all the trips that I want to take. And I'm like, man, France is very interesting to me. So this great trip, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to remodel and having your dream kitchen or finally get a closet full of sustainable pieces that truly, truly, truly represent your style. Honestly, having a better lifestyle is not wrong. The problem comes when we become obsessed with status or when we start to think that our value as human beings depends on the logo on our shoes. But if that's not the case for you, you simply want those things because they make your life easier or put you in a good mood or make you feel sexy, whatever it is. Having financial independence will give you a responsible path to achieving those tangible goals. And no shame in that. No shame in wanting to fly first class. Not at all. The important thing is not getting in debt to fly first class. But if you have a financial plan, then that's a different story. So now that hopefully you are convinced and excited about getting more involved with your finances, what can you do? First, go read my blog on my money management principles. I go more in depth with my budget, how I manage it, and just my general principles. It's just like a quick fix. But I really want you to learn about the why. So go read my blog post on my money management principles. I go more in depth, but I'm going to summarize some of my key tips. First, have a budget. You know where your money is going. Have an emergency fund. And this is going to be probably tough love for some of you, but it's for your own good, okay? A man is not an emergency fund. Your parents' investment real estate property is not an emergency fund. Reading The Secret and manifesting more money into your bank account is not an emergency fund. Have an actual bank account where you put actual money readily available in case you have an emergency. And by the way, not everything is an emergency, but that's a conversation for another day. Then you want to also invest early. And I wish I would have known this earlier in my life. In my country, investing is not really a thing. there are people who invest, but it's not like super popular, or at least it wasn't when I was growing up. So this required a huge mindset shift for me. But yeah, the secret to building wealth is not to store every single penny under the mattress until you're 75 and then you have $100,000 for your retirement. No, the secret is to invest the right way, the smart way, the strategic way. And I'm going to mention my favorite resources in a minute. My next step that you can take right now is to get educated without becoming obsessed. And it can be very overwhelming. And for the vast majority of us who are not passionate about finances necessarily, about the stock market, and we are not reading every single day Bloomberg to see how the market moved, we just need to know how money works, how money moves. We just need to understand why we can't just print more money and fix the world's poverty crisis. But we don't need to be or to know every single detail, okay? I feel like you should have your trusted sources that you go to for information and for tips, but don't let it overwhelm you. In the financial or the personal finances world, it is very easy to fall into the fitness coach trap, which is that you have your fitness expert recommending to do keto. So 1 month you're keto, then you find another person, and the next month you are doing vegan, and then the next month you're doing intermittent fasting, and you're just messing up with your metabolism. In the personal finances world, it works the same way. Choose someone, choose a method, and stick to it. Or have a couple of people so you can have different perspectives, but don't jump from one person to the other. One person's going to tell you to buy this stock, and the other person's going to tell you to invest here and there. And just be careful who you listen to. As a rule of thumb, if a person has an emoji of a flying dollar, like a dollar with wings on their bio, I usually don't take them seriously. You can do whatever you want. But with money, I prefer people who are a little bit more conservative in their communication. This doesn't mean that they're boring. It's just like they are not using flying dollar emojis on their bios. So my first must, and a podcast I want to encourage you to subscribe to, it's Afford Anything by Paula Pant. She's incredible. She's super insightful. She's super empathetic. She's very, very smart. Whenever she has guests, she's a really great interviewer. Her questions are, for me, as a podcaster, she's just an inspiration. So highly, highly recommend Paula Pant's Afford Anything. I also encourage you to read I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. It's a book. It is very good. It is very straight to the point, no fluff. It is very easy to understand. It offers a straight path, a straight plan. But at the same time, it is so fun to read because Ramit has a very dry sense of humor. I might not agree with him on everything, but for the most part, I respect him a lot. I respect him a lot, and he's very entertaining. So there's nothing wrong with wanting to like the person you're learning from, right? And my third resource and you know, the class that changed my financial life, and this might sound dramatic, but it is 100% true. It is Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, and I'm linking everything in the description box, so please make sure to go check it out. But it is such a good class. Like, it gives you all the money management principles. Of course, there are things that I don't agree. He recommends not having a credit card or using credit at all, and maybe for his demographic or where he lives, that's possible. When I took this class, I was living in Miami, and in Miami, you need to have credit. Like, there's no way around it. Like, you need to have credit for, like, to move into a new building, they run your credit. So not 100%, but just the way, if you are knee deep in a financial crisis and you have like a financial STD, as I used to, he is the perfect guy to give you the principles and to lay out a path for you to get out and leave and move forward with your life. So I highly, highly recommend him. Another step that, again, this might be obvious, but I feel like not not all of us do it, and I took a long time to do this. Talk about money with your partner. If you're married, you both need to be on the same page about your finances. This is huge. There are so many people who, like, they don't even know how much their partner makes, or like they treat their partner as just roommates, like you pay half, like you're not paying your half. No. Talk about finances. Where are you going? What are your financial goals? What is your emergency plan? If one of you is working at home, taking care of the family, again, I fully believe that that is a job. Make sure that your plan includes that person's protection. Whatever it is, have that conversation, have a money date. That is the best thing that you can do for your finances and for your relationship. Trust me. And finally, my next tip that you can take right now, and whenever you finish listening to this podcast, you're probably going to get a bunch of ads about personal finances classes and products that you don't need. So listen to this. Marketing messages. And as I told you, I have an MBA in marketing and I have a marketing background. I did my bachelor's in mass communication. So this is not a conspiracy theory. This is just the way it works. Marketing messages that are targeted towards women tend to be very, very fluffy and very emotional, because that's the way we respond better. It's just the way it is. You know, they wouldn't do it if that wouldn't work, okay? It's all about emotions and feelings, and they appeal to your fears, and they appeal to your hopes and expectations. And there are so many prices targeted for women that are so overpriced. It's like infuriating. And hey, I'm completely pro being in tune with your emotions and with your intuition. Yeah, 100%. I feel like that is part of the feminine life. But I also believe that we are capable of self-control. We are not this, and I'm not saying this in an offensive way, but like this very animal response to things, more like instinctive response. We can have an instinctive feeling, but our actions we can control. I believe that's my full belief. And if not, you can work on your self-control. But just don't let lazy, fear-inducing media messages deter you from your financial strategy. Don't let these get-rich-quick promises make you spend money that you don't have, or worse, set you up for a whole lot of struggle in debt. I once spent $1,500 on a personal development course, believing that my life was going to be completely different. At the moment, I was taking my Financial Peace University class. Oh, I had just taken it. I was just paying off my student loan and saving money, whatever. And I couldn't, it wasn't in my financial strategy, this personal development class. And they said, how do you plan to make money if you don't invest money to change your money mindset? You need to have a shift in your energy to be open to more money, to more wealth, to more abundance. Through this program, you're going to have an abundance mentality. So you are never going to be in a position where you don't have enough money again. And I was like, yes, I'm sold. Mind you, I knew the tactics that they were using, but they use them because it's good. It's effective. And I spent the money. It wasn't a bad program, but you don't need a $1,500 development, self-development class to make more money. Just listen to the people that I just mentioned, buy their books, and at least you're going to set yourself up for a very strong foundation. So yeah, those are my tips. Those are my reasons. Ultimately, yes, I really want to have a beautiful lifestyle. I really want to be comfortable. That's something I truly, truly value. I am obsessed with skincare, and I want to be able to afford monthly facial massages because I have allergies, so that would really help me debloat. But the benefits of taking care of my finances and aspiring to reach financial independence go way, way, way beyond that. I'm telling you from experience. Again, go read How I Recovered from My Financial STD. You know that learning about personal finances has been one of the most empowering decisions I've made in my life. I truly can tell you that I feel so much more connected to my femininity now. I don't have to stress over money. Even when I don't have a lot of cash in the bank, or when I have a big expense coming up and I don't necessarily have the income at the moment to be able to afford it, since I understand how my finances work and how I can make more money if I need to, having that knowledge has reduced stress and anxiety a whole lot. So I truly I truly recommend you and encourage you to go and do some research. And remember, baby steps. You don't have to become Dave Ramsey a week from now. One baby step after the other will create incredible results. I promise. Like that is 100% true. When you stack baby steps in your life, one day you're going to be like, whoa, I can't believe the big progress I just made. So yeah, get educated, get excited about your finances, find someone you resonate with, and find a cause you care about, because that's really, really motivating as well. Please, please, please share this podcast with a woman in your life that you love so, 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 so much. I really hope that we can help more women in their feminine journey. We are leaders in different areas, and being leaders in our financial lives doesn't have to be this stressful approach or this aggressive approach or this greedy approach. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be feminine. And that is my goal with this podcast for every area of your life, but specifically with this episode, to make you excited about money, not because you are greedy or because you want to be a millionaire just for the sake of saying that you are a self-made billionaire before 40, whatever. No. This is so you can take informed decisions that will affect your family, and I promise, generations to come, whether your own kids, your family, or people that you choose to sponsor, whatever it is, these choices are going to have a beautiful and strong impact. And I can't wait to see you succeed. As always, you know, you can follow me on my social media. My favorite ones where I'm super active are Pinterest and Instagram. On both, I am Eugenia Wu. Eugenia is spelled E-U-G-E-N-I-A, Wu, W-O-O. As I said, I want to be more intentional with my newsletter because I feel like, you know, that's like, let's keep the conversation going there. Go on my Instagram, share this episode, as I said, on your DMs, share it on your stories so people get excited about their finances as well. I can't wait to see you soon. Bye-bye. I love you. Thank you for being here.